Take your Bibles, go to John chapter 20. John, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John chapter 20. And we're going to read from verse 26 to verse 31. I'll read verse 26, you read verse 27 with me. John chapter 20 and verse number 26. And after 8 days, again, his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, Peace be unto you. Then saith he to Thomas, Reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, My Lord and my God. Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. And let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, thank you again for your precious word this morning. Lord, I know there's so many needs here. Lord, there's so much to distract us. Every person has something that they could be thinking about instead of focusing on your word this morning. Please help us as your people, Lord, to listen carefully, Lord, to your word, Lord, so you can work in each heart. And Father, if somebody's here and they don't know that they're saved, they don't have that peace that they're your child and they belong to you, please help them to see how simple it is to place their faith in you. And Lord, for that unspeakable gift that you give every person that places their faith in you. Bless these people this morning. Feed us, strengthen us, and help us, and we'll give you the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. You can have a seat there. You have John chapter 20, and probably if you wanted a key verse on what is the purpose of the book of John, you have verse number 36. So, first of all, before I focus on John, if you have the four Gospels, used to be called the four evangelists, you have Matthew. When you read the book of Matthew, how come there's four books in the Bible that talk about Jesus' life while he was here on this earth? That's so that when you read Matthew, Matthew's going to show you that Jesus is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's the King of the Jews. He's the coming Jewish king that's going to reign for 1,000 years. All right? Then when you read Mark, Matthew, Mark. When you read Mark, shortest of them, it shows you that Jesus is the burden bearer and our need meter. He came to serve, and you're going to see Jesus as the ox or the burden bearer. So you see Jesus as king in Matthew. You see him, God shows us the Lord Jesus as our burden bearer in Mark. Luke, longest of all four, shows the humanity of Jesus, the Son of Man, that God put on flesh, limited himself to a human body to suffer in our place to make a sacrifice that only God could. So when you read the book of Luke, you're reading how Jesus got tired and how he thirsted and how he hurt in this body as God limited himself. So you've got Matthew as a king, going to show Jesus as king. Mark as a burden bearer. Luke as the humanity. And then when you hit the book of John is written to show you that Jesus is God Almighty in the flesh. And the whole purpose of it's 21 chapters in the book of John. The whole purpose is what we just read about in John chapter 20. And look at verse number 31. Well, here, when you read verse 30, it says, Many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. So Jesus did many other things than John records. Verse 30 tells you what Jesus did is limited to the purpose of showing you that he is God. So watch this. In 21 chapters, when you read the book of John, you're only going to read 7 days of Jesus' life. 7 days. He was here for 33 and a half years. He ministered for 3.5, then was crucified and rose again. But out of that 3.5 years, you're only going to read of 7 days in the book of John. Okay? So many other things, but the things that the book of John focuses on is what? Verse 31. It says here, "But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ." Remember how God uses the word believe in your Bible. The word believe does not mean to know about. Like we would say, do you believe, you know, you've heard me say this before. Do you believe in Theodore Roosevelt? Or do you believe in George Washington? In other words, do you know about him? That's how we use the word believe. But when God uses the word believe, it means to solely depend upon and rely upon and to stand only on. So these are written that you might stand only on and depend only on Jesus for your salvation and nothing else. Right? So it says, "But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ." What's the word Jesus mean? J-E, Jehovah, sus, Jehovah saves. Jesus means Jehovah, Creator God, saves, that Jesus is the Christ. What's Christ? That's God come in the flesh, that God would put on humanity. So that Jehovah Jesus, Jehovah saves, has become flesh. God is here to do what? Sacrifice himself for you and for the whole world. Keep on reading, just trying to break it down. Watch this. "These are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name." You say, Son of God, doesn't that mean Father and Son? So doesn't that mean Jesus is below God? We think that in the West, but in what they call the Orient, where the Bible was penned, that's not how it's thought. And just to show you that real quick, go to John. You're in John. Go to chapter 5. Go to John chapter 5. John chapter 5. And look at verse number 17. John 5, 17. "But Jesus answered them, My Father worketh hitherto, and I work." Watch this. Verse 18. "Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him, because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but said also," watch, "that God was his Father, making himself equal with God." See, in the West, we say, if you say son of Brett, you're thinking Father is greater, Son is less. But when Jesus said, God is my Father, and I am the Son of God, he wasn't talking about this. He was saying, I am God in the flesh. And that's how come they got so mad, three times they tried to kill Jesus before he was crucified. This is one of them. So I'm just saying, when Jesus said, I am the Son of God, he was saying, I am God in the flesh. All right? And the Bible shows that. And so look back now. We'll start here in just a second. Go to John 20, verse 31, one more time, and let's finish the verse. It says, "These are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name." Well, if I use some verses, Acts 4:12, "Neither is there any other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." There's only one name that saves you. That's Jesus Christ. Calling on his name is salvation. So the whole book of John, God gave us one book in the Bible so that when you read it, you can see that Jesus is God. He's the one who died for you. He's the Christ, and that you believe or depend only on him. One book of the Bible. So somebody said to me, I know the Bible's a big book. I didn't have to read a book that big in high school. Okay. I understand. I don't think I had to read a book half that size. But when somebody says, here's the Bible, God bless you, read it. You're like, it's a big book. Where do I start? You could start right in Genesis. And there's a reason Genesis is the first book of the Bible. Okay? Not a bad place. But if somebody said, Pastor, it's a big book, where can I start reading it? I would say, if you're saved and you've not read the book of John, it's probably the best book you can start reading. And you say, why? Because it's written, the whole 21 chapters, 7 days of Jesus' life, it's written to show you how to get saved, right? The whole purpose of the book. The word believe is found over 90 times in 21 chapters, all right? So we're going to go to John chapter 1. Ready? John chapter 1. I realize that every Bible study is supposed to be like what I'm doing, okay? But I thought I would try to make it a little different this morning in that, no, I am not, I'm not going to sit down with the ladies in our church. If you have Bible questions, you can certainly ask me, but I don't read the Bible with ladies, amen? I do with men, all right? So that's a good thing. But if I was to read the Bible with you, and if I was to sit down and say, let's read the Bible together, and if it was just you and me at the table, all right, this is how I would do it, all right? So, John chapter 1, ready? And look at verse 1. In the beginning was the Word. Notice that it's capitalized, okay? That means there's something special about what we're reading. Because every word in the Bible is not capitalized. But this word is capitalized, okay? So when God does something in your Bible, because every word is pure and God wrote it, take note, okay? So, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word, there it is again, was with God, and the Word was God. What a verse. So, if you didn't know who the Word is, I'm going to show you who the Word is in just a second. Your first thought would be, that book is God. You would not be off. Okay? That's a good thought. You say, I don't worship ink and paper. I worship the Lord. But the only way you know God is through that book. Right? So if nobody was there to teach you, well, who's the Word? Who's the Word? I'll show you in just a second. The first thought that God gives you when you read the book of John is, that book is everything. We hit it this morning in Sunday school. That book is the only way you know God. Let me phrase it one more time. The Word was God. So this book always has been, goes all the way back to the beginning, and then it was God who has no beginning. Right? Everybody see that? Then, okay, let's just use it real quick. In my Bible, since I've been saved, verse 1 has had a mark. Now go to verse 14, and I've done a little line. Look at verse 14. Ready? It says here, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Why was the book of John written? Why did God give it to us? So that we could know that who Jesus is and that we could believe Him. And what does God tell you the Word is? The Word became flesh. Okay, that's Jesus, right? Okay, that's pretty common. But think about it. The living Word, Jesus Christ, is the written Word with flesh on it. Amen? That which is eternal and always has been. That's why, beautiful thought, your Bible and the Lord Jesus are the same if you have a King James Bible. Here, let's follow this through real quick. Go back near Revelation. We'll come right back here to 1 John. Go to 1 John, right before Revelation, and look at chapter 1. 1 John, back near Revelation. 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, Jude, and Revelation. Look at 1 John chapter 1, verse 1. Ready? That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled. Think with it just for a second. I just think this is so neat. John was the youngest of the apostles, and God uses him to pen his word, and he starts the book by saying, we saw him. We heard his voice. Our hands touched him. When he was here, when the word was made flesh and dwelt among us, we touched him. We knew what it was like to hug him and to pray. We heard him preach. And then he gives the title, the word of life. So who's the, there it is again. Remember that capital W? The capital W is Jesus. The written word with flesh on it. You're in 1 John. Go to chapter 5. Look at verse 7. 1 John chapter 5. Look at verse 7. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. They call that probably the strongest verse in your Bible about the deity of Christ, that Jesus is God. So, 1 John 5, 7, the Word is one or the same with God Almighty. All right? That's the sixth time we've looked at the capital W word, right? We know it's Jesus. Just to confirm it, go to Revelation, the last book in your Bible. Go to chapter 19 and look at verse 13. Revelation chapter 19. Revelation chapter 19 and verse 13. Ready? And he was, well, here, let's start at verse 11. Ready? And I saw heaven open. Revelation 19:11. And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself, and he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. Watch. And his name is called the Word of God. That's seven times in the New Testament that the word is capitalized, and the seventh time God says that word that put on flesh and dwelt among us, that we handled, Jesus' name is the Word of God. Here we go. You know what? I would prefer to preach this, because if I was sitting with you reading the Bible with you at your table, I couldn't move around and shout a little bit, but I'm going to do that. Amen? Think about that. This is Jesus. His name is the Word of God. When I pray, Lord, thank you for today and thank you for saving me. But I can also pray this. This is just as right. Oh, Lord, Word of God. It's the same, isn't it? His name is called the Word of God. This book. That's why I told you I love the Sunday school lesson this morning. I wish we could have just stayed in there another hour. Amen. Had to give you a break, but then we could have come back. Oh, and a drink of water. But I could have stayed in Sunday school for another hour this morning, because this book is this. I love the thought. His name is called the Word of God. That tells me this morning. You love Jesus as much as you love your Bible, and your love relationship with Jesus is the same as you loving your Bible and loving to read it. I don't care how good of a reader you are. Well, I sure, okay, everybody has struggled a couple of times. I'm talking about, do you love your Bible? Do you love reading your Bible? If you held your Bible like this, this is as close as you're going to get to Jesus till one day he calls you home. And you don't love Jesus more than you love your Bible. His name is called the Word of God. Where'd you get all that? I followed you through, right? The Word became flesh. That's why your strongest Christians have a relationship with their Bible. It's supposed to be everything to us. I love what one person said. If my house burned down and if they took everything from me, they said you can only have one thing, what would you pick? I heard the old man stand in our church after I got saved, and this was in North Carolina, and he said, Pastor, if they took everything from me, I'd ask, could I just have my Bible? And I'd have everything I need. That's easy preaching, hard living. Amen? But this book is supposed to be everything. This, I love thinking about it. When our emphasis is on the Bible, it's on Jesus. Amen? Because his name is called the Word of God. If you left church this morning with no other thought, I have to spend time with Jesus. I have to get in this book. I need the Lord. I need to hear his voice. I need to be close. They touched him. But God says, isn't it amazing? If we read 2 Peter chapter 1, it says, Peter, God uses Peter to say, we were there when Jesus got baptized and we heard God speak from heaven. This is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. We heard him then. Then at the Mount of Transfiguration, we heard God speak from heaven again. This is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. Peter said, two times we heard God speak from heaven, thunder, all of that. And yet what you have in your hand, 2 Peter chapter 1, we have a more sure word of prophecy. This book. What's better than hearing God's voice from heaven this morning? That book you have in your hand. Because after we leave church this morning, if God spoke to us audibly this morning, we would leave church and we'd go, okay, what did God say? What did you hear God say? What did you hear God say? Okay, but you can look at it. That's why it's more sure. God knew what he was doing. He gave us a more sure word. This is much better. I heard the voice of God. No, you didn't. Read your Bible. God spoke to me from his word, but God wasn't spooky. God spoke to you from his word. This book is so important. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Go back to John chapter 1 now. John chapter 1. As we're reading through the book of John, and no, we're not going to make it very far this morning, but at least we know what we're reading shows us, and it's a lot deeper than that. It's more than, oh, salvation. You know how much life gets, you know how much more life is easier to deal with if you just stay thankful you're saved? Amen? That we are all going to have pressures to deal with and battles, and nobody knows what tomorrow holds. But praise God, what Jesus promised you, he said, I'll save you if you'll trust me. I'll save you forever. I'll be with you and never leave you, and I'll give you a home in heaven. And whatever you face tomorrow, you'll never face alone. Aren't you glad? Amen? But I don't know what we're going to face tomorrow. I don't know what the future holds. I just know I've got a home in heaven, and I know I'm saved. Amen? And I need to thank God I'm saved. Now, the book of John is going to go deeper than that. And yes, it was written 21 chapters to show you who Jesus is so you can trust him to get saved, right? But they also called the book of John the easiest book in the New Testament to understand and read. It's written, your whole King James Bible is written between a 6.3 and a 5.8 grade reading level. None of the other Bibles are written that low. The lowest the NIV goes is 7.5. Does everybody understand what I just said? According to how they grade reading level at the high school, the lowest, they wrote other Bibles to be easier to understand, right? The NIV is written at a 7.5. There is no Bible that's written on the lowest reading grade level than the King James Bible, and the book of John is the lowest of the, in other words, verb structure, sentence structure, all of that stuff. The book of John is, that's why normally when our children start reading the Bible, where do we turn to? John. It's been that way forever. Amen? Why? Because out of the New Testament, it's the easiest book to read. Okay? It has the smallest words and all that. So there's a lot of, in this simple book, John, there's a lot of wonderful truths, a lot of eternal truths, but we're going to stay on the reason it was written. So in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Look at verse 2. The same was in the beginning with God. We know that was Jesus, but that's also the Bible, and it's the same thing, right? Was in the beginning. Look at verse 3. All things were made by him. And without him was not anything made that was made. So what's the, you know, if we wrote the Bible, we would write Jesus is God and you need to get saved, right? And Jesus died on a cross and rose again for your sins. And if you don't trust him, you're going to die and go to hell. We wrote the Bible. That's what it was. But when God writes his Bible, God says, I want you to know who I am. I am the Word of God. And number two, verse three says, all things were made by him, when without him was not anything made that was made. What's God announcing? I am your creator. I spoke you into existence. And if you can't believe, that's how come evolution is so damning. The thought that you came from a monkey, the thought that you came, you were made in the image of God, and because God made you, God can die for you. And if you can't believe that God spoke you into existence and that God made the worlds, if he's not powerful enough to create the earth, then he's not powerful enough to die for you. That's why evolution and Darwinism and all that garbage, it's soul damning. That's why the devil hit a real home run. He played a big card when he put evolution in the schools. And if you teach the kids long enough, you come from an animal. There is no God. You come from an animal. There is no God. Then how do they start acting like animals? It's been that way since 62, 63, right? When they kicked the Bible out and said, you can't teach the Bible anymore. It's against the law to put the Ten Commandments on the school wall. When we picked that girl up in Dallas, Texas, when we pick her up for church, she was going to a school of 2,500. She said there were hallways, there was a homosexual hallway in her school where they did homosexual acts. There was a dating, petting hallway where they had open sex in that hallway. She said, when my wife and I would pick her up, she was, I think, 14 years old, she said, I just love coming to church. She said, I hate going to school. It's just a filthy place. It's just nasty. That's our public school system. And it hasn't gotten any better. That was what, 8 years, ten years ago? All I'm trying to tell you is, when you're reading your Bible, God says all things were made by him and was not anything made that was made. God said, I am your creator. I made you. That's how come I'm the only one who could die for you. Amen. Why was the book of John written? So that you would believe who Jesus Christ is. That's verse 3 here. Let's keep on going. Ready? In him was life. In Jesus was life. And the life was the light of men. Well, first of all, life. Jesus said, I am come that you might have life, John 10:10, and that you might have it more abundantly. Well, that's talking about normal life here on this earth. Jesus is the source and enjoyment of life here on this earth and eternal life. That's why 1 John 5:12, he that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son hath not life. How does the world make it without Jesus? They're going to just turn the music up and do more drugs and drink more alcohol and go to more parties. How does the world make it? That's why they're going nuts. That's why they're committing suicide.
Suicide rates are up. Sin rates are up. Incest is up.
All the sins are up since COVID. That's because you can't fix anything without God. Jesus was the life and he was the light of men. You can't live life without Jesus Christ. You can exist. You can just make it from day to day, but you can't live. I love hearing people when they get saved. They're like, it's like, okay, watch this. In him, in Jesus was life, and the life, that's Jesus, was the light of men. When you get saved, it's like a light bulb is clicked and turned on. And everything is there that's always been there. You just see it differently. Amen. It's like, we had a man in our Sunday school class, and he said, you know, since I've gotten saved, he said, there's just so much, it's so different. And he was talking about, it's like the lights come on. Amen? Everything's there. It's not like anything appeared in front of you. It's just, without the lights, and I'm not going to shut off the lights, but without the lights, you kind of, you stumble, because you can't see. It's like before you get saved, everything's in place, but you can't see it, and you can't figure out life. What's life all about? Why am I here? Why am I on this earth? But it's like when the lights, and you're stumbling, and you're tripping over everything, but when you get saved, Jesus is the life and the light. It's like the lights come on. It's like, look at that. if we're only here for a short period of time, and God made us eternal to live with Him, then everything in this short period of time comes in. How can marriage make sense without God? It was God's idea. It was God's idea that a man and a wife are joined into one. That was all God do. How do you have a good marriage without God? I'll answer the question for you. You can't. And the secret to a good marriage is what? Wow, this was all God's. This was by God's design. And you quit existing from day to day, and you can see God's plan and purpose. It's like getting born again. You can't see the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God's always been there. But when you get saved, it's like your eyes are opened, and it's like, oh wow, look at God's purpose. It's like a radio. If you turn the radio off, the radio waves are still going, right? You just aren't tuned in. But when you get saved, it's like turning on the radio, and then you and then you've got all, you can access all of the radio waves. The light, He was the life and the light of men. Jesus is the one who helps life make sense. And you can't. All you can do without God is just exist. Make money, have a little pleasure, make more money, do this, and hopefully by the time I die, nothing is done for a purpose. Jesus is the life, and He's the light of men. I like thinking about this. Watch this. Look at verse 5. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. What's that mean? The whole world's in darkness without the Lord. Since Adam sinned, the whole creation is in darkness. And it says the darkness comprehended it not. God came down to earth 2,000 years ago, put on flesh, lived a perfect, sinless life that no man's ever done. Lived without sin, perfect and pure, that God would come down here to die for His creation, and the darkness comprehended it not. Jesus is here. Don't you care? Nobody cared. He left a mark, though, for eternity. Amen? Never owned a house, right? Didn't own his own camel or his own car, and yet he left a mark for eternity, and the darkness didn't comprehend it, all right? And, well, okay, let's use the word darkness real quick. Watch this. Go to John chapter 3. Watch this. Look at verse 18. John chapter 3, verse 18. He that believeth on Him is not condemned. That means if you believe or solely depend on Jesus Christ, you'll never die and go to hell. You'll never burn in the flames of fire for eternity. But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Look at verse 19. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. How come the darkness didn't comprehend it? Because to acknowledge God means I have a creator. Think with me just for a second. People don't like to acknowledge that they have a creator, because if you have a creator, you have someone who made you and owns you. That means I have a power that's higher than me that I am accountable to. And that's why people, light was come into the world, and the darkness comprehended not, and men love darkness rather than light. Because it's a lot easier for me to live in sin than it is to admit there's a God that made me, and then now follow it through. He not only made you, but He died for you. And what would you do for somebody that died for you? What would you do for someone that took a bullet for you? Someone shot a gun and they stepped in front of that bullet for you because they didn't want you to die. What would you do for them? Would you put their picture over your mantle? Would you tell every person you met about them? Your Creator died for you. Amen? The whole Christian life is supposed to be one of gratitude. Did you have to come to church this morning, or did you get to come to church? Amen? It has to stay. If you want to enjoy life, it has to be, look what I get to do now that I'm saved. I get to pray. I get to read my Bible. It means something to me. God wants to talk to me. I get to pray. I get to talk to heaven, my Heavenly Father. Look what I get to do. I get to live for the Lord. I get to teach my kids about God. I get to look what I get to do, not nothing that I have to do. But the Christian life loses its joy when you lose Jesus. And aren't you glad you can't lose your salvation? But the whole Christian life is gratitude that He would make me. I sin against Him, and then He would die for me. What a God! And then I spend my life, my short little years on this earth, in gratitude and thankfulness. Not this morning's Sunday school lesson. Oh, great, he's teaching on the Bible again. Let me guess. We need to read it some more. Well, how much more do we need to read it? I already read. Look, Pastor, I read one chapter a day. Did you know most of us need more than a chapter a day? Most of us have so much movies and so much filth and so much garbage in our mind and so much bad music in our mind. It takes me four chapters till I even start to get something out of it. Am I the only one confessing that in here this morning? And for somebody to say, well, I sit down, I read my chapter, I go to my Bible. Okay, great. It's the 27th, read Proverbs 27. Great, okay, I'm done. Do you get to read your Bible or do you have to read it? Everything in the Christian life is based on our thankfulness for salvation. And you know when you get critical and when you get nasty and when you start covering the hatred with, hi, everything's fine, but you got hatred in your heart. You know when that starts to happen? When you lose the joy that your Creator would die for you. If you can just stay focused on salvation and just stay thankful that God created you and died for you, it's like it's so many other things. Praise God. I know we all have problems to deal with, but it's like I can just deal with them better. Amen. This morning, the book of John, I want to take you here. Let's do one more. Let's do one more verse. Ready? If I was reading the Bible, ready, watch this. Verse number 6, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light. Notice it's capital L, so that's Jesus. That all men through him might believe. That all men through Jesus might believe. Ready? He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light. Watch this. Which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Two thoughts. Ready? And if I was reading the Bible with you, I would work through the verses and I would say, first of all, 700 years before this was penned, God told Isaiah that there's going to come a forerunner for Jesus and he's going to be preaching in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Jesus is coming. And for the next several verses in the first chapter of John, you're introduced to a man named John the Baptist. John the Dipper. John the Submerger. A person who was never baptized, but was given the authority by God to baptize. That means his title was given by God, John the Baptist. You know, we're teaching on Baptist history on Sunday nights. But somebody said, how come you make such a big deal about being a Baptist? Well, I don't think every Baptist church is a good church that teaches the Bible. But I think if it's a good church, it's going to be a Baptist church that teaches the Bible. You say, why? Because the word Baptist is in the Bible. And it's the Bible that makes us Baptist. Amen. So somewhere along the lines, you're introduced in verse 6 to a man named John. And when you read Matthew 11, it says he's the greatest man born among women. Greater than Moses, greater than David, greater than Isaiah, greater than Daniel. Daniel's pretty good. We've learned, right? So the greatest man born among women is John the Baptist, and he only preached for 3 months, behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world, verse 29. Right? Behold Jesus. All he did was point people to Jesus. And maybe that lets me know what I'm supposed to do. Amen. Then one more thought. It says, verse number 9, that was the true light. The true light we know is Jesus Christ, which lighteth, if you underline the words, every man that cometh into the world, whether they have a Bible or not. God says in His Word, tells us, He has lit every man that comes into the world. And if we acknowledge that light, I have written in my Bible, Romans 1:18, right next to that, which says what? The invisible things of the creation of the world are clearly seen by the created. And what? No man, nobody will be without excuse. Nobody is going to stand on judgment day before they're cast into hell and say, you didn't care about me. It's your fault I'm going to hell. God says nobody will be without excuse. Who has the light of Jesus appeared to? Every man. Every man. Remember? Light, the darkness comprehended it not, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. I don't want to be exposed. I don't want to admit that what I'm doing is wrong. I don't want to humble myself. But God says His light has appeared to every man. There's a sermon on our internet that I preached 3 years ago. I might need to re-preach it, but it's called God's Fair. The only people that aren't fair is us when we don't tell people that we're supposed to. Amen? We're the ones that aren't fair. God's fair. Amen? Because the light has shined to every man. And aren't you, I'm going to follow it up with this and then we're all done. Because the light has shined to every man, aren't you glad every person could get saved if they wanted to? They won't. The whole world's not going to get saved. America's not getting saved. But it's wonderful to know anybody who wants to get saved can. Praise the Lord. Amen. If I was reading the Bible through with you, here's what I'd like you to do. Go home, take the book of John, read through some more, and as you read, think, what does God want me to learn? What is God teaching me? I tried to help you this morning, and we'll do it a little bit more. I'm not going to do it every time we come to church. Amen. I try to preach the whole counsel of God. Amen. But this morning, I wanted to take and say, if you and me could read the Bible together, this is how I would show you. Have you draw that circle from verse 1 to verse 14. And I'd teach you who the Word is. And that way, get you set on a journey so that God can speak to your heart. Amen. And you can enjoy reading your Bible. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this precious truth. Lord, it's eternal. What a book you've given us. Lord, I pray that please you would strengthen us as your people this morning. Please bless these people. I just need to ask the question. You say, Pastor, while you were preaching and teaching us the Bible this morning, I just don't have the peace in my heart that I'm saved. I'd like to know, but I don't know if I'm going to heaven or not.